Good afternoon, everyone. This week our well went out, and so we had a pump service guy out there, and they were putting a new pump. Well, we got done doing that, and I walked in the house, but I'd asked my son to come and help me tidy up some things while we had the well house open. So he had to go pick up his kids. So my granddaughter and grandson was over at the house, and they were in there with Jamie. And so I went in to get a check so I could pay the pump guy. And Jamie does the downloading for the Springfield congregation, or uploading. Yeah. I'm not the computer whiz. That'd be my wife. So anyway, so I walked in there, and there I am up on the screen, right? And the grandkids are looking at it. And Jamie was telling me later that she was doing it. And my granddaughter, which is six, she goes, "Papal's famous." And then a little bit later on, she came up to me. She goes, "Papa, you looked handsome on TV." So I thought that was pretty sweet. Well, my sermonette is on a discernment. You know, we're living in times that really that I believe that we're entering the last days, times of chaos, times of craziness, like I've never seen before in my entire life. Discernment, just how important is discernment to us as Christians? Well, I believe from the depth of my being that discernment is vital for our spiritual growth as well as our physical well-being. I looked up the word discernment just to get a clear definition, and the definition was really simple. According to the Oxford Language Dictionary, it says the ability to judge well. Simple definition. You know, I personally get kind of nervous standing up here giving sermonettes, mainly for the fear that I might say something wrong or lead somebody in the wrong direction and the wrong path. And I would never want to do that intentionally. But this is kind of where you, the listeners, come in. In Acts 17, verse 11, we're going to read Acts 17, verse 11. And it says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. You know, just because it's set up here, we're supposed to search the scripture. Discernment. These scriptures clearly show that everyone has a personal responsibility to find out if it's true or not. You know, I never want to really say anything wrong up here or lead anybody the wrong way, but that's just not always been the case. And it's just not always been true. Many of you are longtime members here in God's church. We've probably seen a lot of craziness within the church itself. I have been in the church my whole life. I'm 65 years old. Most of what I've heard from the pulpit was true, right, and extremely helpful. But there has been a few who has pushed their own personal agenda and personal viewpoints that is not based on scriptures. But we in the New Testament church, we have something that the Old Testament church just doesn't have for the large part. And we'll read about a little bit about this, and we're going to start in John 15 and we'll start in verse 26. It says, "But when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. We're going to go ahead and read a little bit more in verse 16. Just try to prove a point that there's a purpose that God had here and that Christ had here. It says, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." And what keeps us from stumbling? It is the helper. "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God a service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me." And these are Christ's words. "But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who has sent me. And none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you. Sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." We too have the gift of the Helper we call the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, which is given to us through repentance, baptism, and the laying on of hands. Before I get in this next part of it, I want to be clear that this has nothing to do with anybody that I know of in the United Church of God. These are just some examples that I've heard over the years. And some of them are pretty outrageous things that ministers have stood up here and said. Okay. And thankfully, there's just been a few, very few, that have said these kind of the outlandish types of things. One of the examples that I want to give you, I personally heard a minister say one, he was on God's will. This one right here just really got me. I mean, it infuriated me. Anyway, he's given a sermon on God's will, and he made this statement. He said, "If somebody breaks into your house and starts to rape your wife, you shouldn't do anything." He said, "You shouldn't do anything to stop it, because if you do, you're interfering with God's will." Can you believe that? That's crazy. You know, I know for a fact it's not God's will, you know. And there's a scripture in Ephesians that it reminds me of, just personally, of Ephesians 5. It says, and this is Christ speaking. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." It doesn't even compute with what this man said. This is Christ's command to us as husbands. We're supposed to be willing to sacrifice for our wives. I mean, another one that I heard was, "We are incapable of discernment." That we had to ask him, because he knows more than anyone else. That's what he said. Knows more than anyone else. Well, we just read in John about the Spirit of Truth that comes from the Father. That Spirit of Truth was just not there. The last example I'll give you is this. He said that adultery is no reason for divorce. No reason for divorce. He said, I mean, I'm going to get, I wrote it down the best as I can remember, and I'm pretty sure I'm quoting it exactly. But he said, when somebody commits adultery, that I know for a fact that is because they were forced into it. Come to find out, this particular minister was put out of the church a few years before he gave this, quite a few years before he gave this, for this very same thing. You know, that statement tells me that there was no repentance in this man, none. He just blamed his wife for his own sins, his own problems. And we have to really think, you know, the Ten Commandments clearly says, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? No one can make you break one of God's commandments. You have to choose to do so. Christ himself said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Not man, but Christ. We are warned in Matthew and in many other places throughout scriptures, there has always been wolves in sheep clothing. In Matthew 7, and we're going to read Matthew 7, 15 through 20. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. You know, in Matthew 24, verse 11 and 12, pretty much says the same things as then that many false prophets will rise up and deceive man. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, people like that, they are of their father, Satan, who wants to divide and to conquer God's people. He walks around as a roaring lion to devour who he can for a reason. So when we hear some of these things and that little voice inside of our heads goes off and it says, that's not right. What should we do about it? You know, it's simple, brethren. First and foremost, we need to do as those that they did in Acts 17. You know, they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether it was true or not. And if it's not true, it's not true. Second, you know, we need to pray and ask God for discernment to be able to judge rightly, judge well. And thirdly, we need to trust in the Holy Spirit that God gives us. I wanted to leave you with this, simply this. The helper that Christ sent down from the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, it helps us make right decisions. Brethren, God has given us the power of discernment through the Spirit, through His Spirit. So don't let anybody tell you that you are incapable of discernment, because it's just plainly is not true. We have the Spirit of truth, God's Spirit in us.